Welcome to Beaver Lodge Alliance's sermon podcast. We're so glad to join you. This is the latest sermon. We pray that you would receive encouragement, exhortation, and that Jesus would speak to you through this sermon. Enjoy.
Now, some of you, the maybe one or two people that look at our bulletin, noticed that who was speaking today was Caleb Penner. And we were very excited. He's an associate pastor at McLaurin Baptist Church. We are excited to have him. And unfortunately, he got that nasty flu that is circulating around. And so you are getting me instead of him. But we're... but we are still, me and Caleb and I are, that's for you, Ryan, to do it proper. We're still going to make sure that we can hopefully find a time to schedule him in the new year, because he was excited to come out and we were really excited to have him. So, yeah. And if any kids have come in later, I don't think they have. They're already downstairs doing their party. So you guys can just head straight down there if there's any kiddos. So, there once was a contest announced, an artistic contest. The committee wanted to see who would paint the best picture depicting peace. And it opened it up to whoever wanted to submit their art. What would you paint to depict peace? So many great painters submitted several of their best art pieces. One picture was a beautiful beach with a single lounger in the waves. Another one was a fireplace in a cozy library with a large inviting chair and a cup of coffee. Another one was fresh, undisturbed snow blanketing a town. Another one was a calm lake perfectly mirroring peaceful, towering, snow-capped mountains. Overhead was a clear blue sky with fluffy clouds and the sun shining down. That picture was perfect. And many of the people who walked around and viewed the art gallery thought, oh, that one, that one's gonna win. That is peace right there. But when the committee announced the winner, everyone was shocked and a little confused. In fact, the picture that had won was the one that kind of everyone skipped by and thought, the artist didn't really know what was going on there. It had mountains too, but they were rugged and bare and formidable looking. The sky looked very angry. There was lightning and dark clouds. It looked chaotic. It did not look peaceful at all. It looked like the artist had mistakenly submitted his painting depicting chaos rather than peace. But if anyone had taken the time to look closely at the painting, they would have seen a tiny bush growing in the crack of a rock on the mountainside. And in that bush, a mother bird had built her nest. In the midst of the rush of the angry weather, the bird sat on her nest, asleep, tucked into the little crack, into the bush, completely at peace. Peace is so much more than simply calm surroundings, and deeper than simply environmental factors all going our way. We've been talking about the last 4 weeks have been around Advent. How Advent is the celebration and of Jesus coming as the first time as a babe. And also there's this other element of waiting as well when he returns. And we've talked about when we went through love and hope and joy and now peace of what it looks like as we wait for the not yet kingdom to be full fruition. How do we cultivate an awareness, an experience of love, joy, peace, and hope? Another way of saying, how do we cultivate an awareness of the presence of Jesus now? Whether our situation feels like a nice B beach calm situation, or whether it feels like fresh snow, or whether it feels like an angry storm. What does it look like? And today is the Advent of peace. And I think we need to be clear on what is this peace. Well, actually, maybe not. We need to first start at not what it is, but where it comes from. And Bruce had already read this passage, but I'm going to read it again from Isaiah 9, 6, and the prophecy of the Messiah, prophecy of Jesus. For to us a child is born, to us a son shall be given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There shall be no end to the increase of his government and of peace. He shall rule on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness, from that time forward and forevermore. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And it's one of those titles that we say quite often. And as I was sitting with it, yesterday, all of a sudden it was like, Prince. Oh, that's someone who has authority over, who's in charge of it, who rules, who has dominion over it. The Prince of Peace. He has ownership and authority of peace. And we see this also in 1 Corinthians 14:33. And so this is where Paul is talking about what it looks like to be, what services look like, that it's not supposed to be chaotic and a hot mess, and what does it look like to be orderly? And he's talking about instructions for the church and expressions of spiritual gifts. But this is what he says, 1 Corinthians 14:33. For God is not a God of confusion and disorder, but of peace and order. Another way is like, for God is not a God of chaos, but of peace. God has ownership and authority of peace. Peace originates from him. And I talked about this briefly last week, I think, when I talked about our word for peace isn't as rich or full or fleshed out as the Hebrew word. Shalom. Peace. And shalom means safe, wholeness, wellness, experiencing of favor, no hostility, prosperity, unity and accord, full flourishing. Peace. That's what Jesus is the Prince of. And I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I place all of my expectation of peace on external factors. If work was less chaotic, then I'd have peace. If this relationship was better, then I'd have peace. If this person wasn't a jerk, then I'd have peace. Or, you know, maybe if my finances were in a better place, then I'd have peace. That's a lot of power to things that actually don't have that much power. And as I sat with it again, it was like I recognized within myself that it was a weird form of idolatry. That I was giving, in a couple of areas, such weight and unbalanced significance in my life for these things. That it was like they were Lord of my life. That they had the power to determine whether I'd be at peace, whether I'd be okay. I was giving them the power to determine my peace. And don't hear me say that those things don't matter. right? That they're not significant, that they're not a big deal. Because some of the stuff that is causing churning in our souls is a big deal. And it's weighty, and it's big, and it has implications. And that's not what I'm saying, that it doesn't matter, just turn to Jesus. I'm saying because they're so weighty, that sometimes our souls so desperately want to attach everything to them, that they're temporary. And they're definitely not the Prince of Peace. Because peace isn't an absence of outer pressure or environment or perfect relationships. That's not what peace right now is. This peace that Jesus has come to usher in seems to indicate an inner groundedness, a settledness rooted in the person of Jesus and his promises. Love, hope, joy, and peace are all an inner experience of being rooted in the person of Jesus and our identity and the promises that then flow outwardly to those around us. Because love, joy, peace, hope. Man, as soon as I do it in that order, I'm going into like the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, hope, patience, kindness, goodness, which is also accurate, all this. Really, all of these sermons could be exactly the same. Because the end result is what I'm going to say is all of this is found in Jesus. And not just like the answer is Jesus in a flippant sort of way. But all of these things we experience when we are present in our lives right now and are present and aware of the presence of Jesus. Because he's the source of love. He's the source of joy. He's the source of hope. He's the source of peace. And so the invitation for us and what we get to do is just open our eyes to see where is Jesus right now. Because he's with us. And then we get to partner with him in then sharing his presence with other people. So how do we experience this peace for ourselves though? Because so often when I'm unsettled, I turn to my unhelpful coping mechanisms to try and create peace in my inner world. For me, often that will come out in control. If I can just make sure everything outside goes good, then I can settle the chaos inside of me. Or often, if I'm feeling really unsettled, people will hear me just say, I just need to get everything sorted in my brain. I just need to get everything sorted in my brain. Yeah, there might be some organization, but me having everything perfectly in all the boxes is not going to settle the chaos in my soul because of a relationship that's hard right now. What about you? When you're anxious, churning, worried, wound up, spiraling, whatever word you describe that inner chaotic feeling, what's your go-to coping mechanism? But here's the thing, we go to these things because they've worked-ish at some point. Either they help in the short term or they worked at some point or they're kind of okay. That's why we keep going to them. They have done something for us. But it doesn't last, or it adds more issues to things. Some of us just keep busy. I just won't stop. Externally, I'll keep going so that I don't even have to think about the fact that internally I am not okay. Other of us, maybe we go to cleaning. If we feel chaotic on the inside, our house is gonna be spotless. It's a way to manage. Some of us go for control. I will make sure that everybody does the things around me that need to happen in the way that I think it needs to happen. Others of us maybe go to others for our own gratification. And we're all aware of the various ways that can look. What's your go-to mechanism that maybe works short term, or maybe helps in that area, but kind of causes a bunch more issues. Because these things, they delay. They help us deny. They cause issues other places, and maybe, I would argue, they're temporary, that don't actually settle anything. And so I would say to experience the peace we've talked about, we have to turn to Jesus, the one who has peace to give. And it is freely given. Psalm 29:11 says, "The Lord will give unyielding and impenetrable strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." And then we see in Galatians that fruit of the Spirit that I had mentioned. Galatians 5:22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." The fruit of the Spirit, which means it's the Holy Spirit who produces those things. It's not for us to conjure up or bear down hard enough or force ourselves to walk in peace. The Holy Spirit produces, as again we pause and open ourselves up to his presence. And this peace is a gift. John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you, not as the world gives to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge." Are you troubled? Are you afraid? Are you churning and unsettled inside? Jesus has a gift, the gift of peace. But you need to pick it up. So often we can be full. Picture it as a gift. Our hands can be full of strife and fear and anxiety and resentment and all the churning things that our hands are so full that we can't even receive it. And here's a real uncomfortable thing. Some of us don't have or experience peace because we're actually unwilling to have it. What I mean by that is we feel comfortable in our strife, in our worry, in our chaos, in our resentment. It works for us. And so it's not a matter of letting go and becoming aware of what we have. It's actually recognizing these things that we've grabbed a hold of. Just being really honest and being like, these work for me and I don't want to let them go. This also filters into forgiveness or unforgiveness. That in the same way as we kind of do all these exterior things to try and have peace, we hold on to unforgiveness as a way to manage our inner turmoil. Because unforgiveness is such a weird thing. It feels like somehow we have power over the other person when we decide we're not going to forgive. Or somehow we have control over the other person. Or somehow if we don't forgive them, then they're going to know how badly they hurt me and they're going to pay. And we all do it. But when we actually stop and think about it, that doesn't make sense. Because sometimes people don't actually even know how much they've hurt us. Or maybe they do and they don't even care. And so we're using unforgiveness as a way to try and control somebody, but it's just controlling us. And we don't want to let it go. But peace is a gift that has to be received with open hands. And so I would just say, what are some things that you're actually unwilling to let go of? And here's the thing, Jesus has such compassion for you. He gets it. He's not standing there being like, oh goodness, why can't they just let go of their bitterness? Oh goodness, why can't they just forgive that person? Oh, why can't they let go of that fear already? It's been 30 years. He has such compassion. He sees all the pain. He sees all the places that the lie has been reinforced. He sees the places that you're trying to hold on to self-protection. He sees it and he has compassion for you. He says, don't do this alone. And it starts with even just being honest about, I'm unwilling to forgive Jesus and I don't even know what to do there. Or, yep, part of me really likes being afraid because then I can back away from things really easily. It starts with being honest. So we have to turn to Jesus with open hands, whatever capacity we have. The other thing is there's this, once we've received the gift, there's like a cultivation that needs to happen. Because fear, strife, and chaos is free, unfortunately. And peace can be work. Not in a striving, have to force my sort of way, but the choice of peace. The choosing to walk in the peace of Jesus, that takes intentional, dedicated work. The peace of Jesus is a gift. We can use it or we can treat it, say, like that random gift your grandmother gives you. That's really random, completely out of place, where you say, thanks, Grandma, and put it in the closet and never look at it again. We can treat Jesus' peace like that, or we can say, thank you for this gift. What does it look like to use it? What does it look like to walk in it? And I think Philippians 4 shows us what it looks like to cultivate this peace. Philippians 4, 6 to 7. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, that peace which reassures the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, stands guard over your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And we see this. It says, don't be anxious and worried about anything. But then it just doesn't say, so stop it. But instead says, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests to God. I see this as, part of this is honest communication, like I've been talking about with Jesus, about what's going on. Turning to him in worry and practicing gratitude seems to be some of the ways that we can cultivate the increased growth of his peace in our lives. Sometimes whenever I talk about, you know, choosing joy or choosing love or choosing hope or choosing peace and cultivating that, I kind of get pushback of people saying, wow, that's like toxic positivity. Or you're just saying deny and ignore things and then everything will be okay. Or, you know, that it's a simple thing that you're just like, oh, just choose peace and then it'll be fine. It's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is it's both a gift. And I think we can all acknowledge to remain in the presence of Jesus and experience his peace is hard some days. And I'm not denying that. And I'm not saying, no, I'll just be happy. What I am saying is that this work of cultivating his peace is holy hard work. But what it does is it actually roots you deeper into his presence in a way that then as you show up in your environment, you bring his peace with you. Because that's what it is, that our interactions, our experience with the peace of Jesus doesn't just stop at encountering it for ourselves. There's another component to the peace of Jesus. Because once we've experienced it, what does it look like to share it? How do we embody it for others? Because we are. We have a call to embody peace. In James 3:18, it says, "And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness." I like that picture, don't you? That you're not responsible for making the whole thing grow and all of it, but when you show up, walking in the peace of Jesus, it's like you're planting seeds in that location. You show up to your job and you're planting seeds. You're walking in the peace of Jesus in your home and you're planting seeds within your kids. You show up at hockey and you're planting seeds of peace. Whatever your sphere of service is, we get to walk in a way, we get to be peacemakers where we're planting seeds of peace that can grow. Matthew 5:9. The Beatitudes, it's right at the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, says, "Blessed are the makers and maintainers of peace, for they will be called the sons and daughters of God." I like it because it pairs both that we create peace and we maintain it. Not in the false peacekeeping, we'll just keep the peace status quo, but in the we maintain the peace of Jesus. Because sometimes we can get kind of wrapped up into the idea that, you know, peacekeeping is what we're called to do. And sometimes peacekeeping is just kind of a nice word for people pleasing. That we think, oh no, I'm just keeping the peace. No, you just don't want people to be unhappy with you. Which is not the same as being a maker and maintainer of peace. Of the peace of Jesus. We are carriers of his peace. And this means that when we open the gift of peace and are experiencing it in our lives, when we show up to places with that, we bring that to the atmosphere. The way I think about it is, you know, any one of us who have spent time around kids, we kind of get this idea that have how the kids feed off the energy that we bring to a place. I don't know about you guys, right? I think we've all seen this, whether we have our own kids or we get to love on other kids. You know, kids fall down and they kind of look to us. Is this going to be a bad injury or am I going to get up and laugh about it? Or if you're coming and you are feeling chaotic and short and impatient and sharp, kids pick up on that, and now all of a sudden, the whole atmosphere is just edgy, grumpy people. And really, humans do that too. I mean, kids are also humans. I realize now how I said that. Adult humans. There you go. That's much better. Adults do that too, don't we? Sure, it may not be as obvious, but if we go into an environment and everyone's grumpy at work, things aren't going well, people are stressed, often we just kind of take the environment and we run with it. And now we're grumpy and we're stressed and we're annoyed. But that's actually not what we're called to do. There's a saying that I make so much sense. I don't know, it's something about it bothers me, but I 100% agree about it. We are meant to be thermostats, not thermometers. So what that means is we are meant to set the atmosphere of the room, not say and reflect back to people what it is. And we can't give, carry, spread what we don't have. So if we're walking into places with hostility and strife and discord, that's what we're given, guys. And like I said, makers and maintainers of peace is not the same as cheap peacekeeping. And we have to move away from that view, that peace is no tension, that everyone agrees, that there's no outer dilemmas or discord in the topic sense. We have to move away from that. Because we can be people of peace, and I think we are called to be people of peace, and still experience conflict. People of peace and still have differing opinions that we need to sort out and walk through. And so are we showing up with an attitude of peace, or are we waiting to feel out the environment and partner with that? Because we are called to be messengers of peace. And that's a phrase that I've heard kind of thrown out over the years. And messengers of peace back in the day were responsible for procuring peace treaties that brought an end to warfare. So, how do we lay hold of peace treaties to end warfare and fighting among our families, in our businesses, in the body of Christ? Ephesians 4:1-3 says this: "Therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord," this is Paul talking, "beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with one another, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourself united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace." Operating from a place of peace seems to be crucial in unity of the body. And Romans 12 talks about this again, of what does it look like to show up, or why are showing up. Romans 12:18. "If possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." And that middle section is really important, because sometimes we can be very unsettled, and it's like, well, I'm not living at peace with this person. But sometimes we've done all we can. As far as we've done what we need to do. We've gone and had conversations with them. We've offered forgiveness or repentance and reconciliation. And someone still may decide to be like, nah, I do not want to be at peace with you. I'm done here. And we can actually allow that to churn and cause chaos within our lives. But it's important to remember that this verse is saying, as far as it is to you. And I think this makes it really clear that the embodiment of peace requires actions on our part. So places where you have discord with people, as far as it is up to you, have you tried to make peace? Goes back to that unforgiveness thing I was talking about. We have a gift from Jesus this Christmas. It's the gift of his peace. And And like I said at the beginning, love, joy, peace, hope, really all of it is in the person of Jesus. And so in our lives today, are we centered around Jesus and his presence? Are we making space for him to remind us of who we are and what he has given us and what he promises us? Because so much of this walk with Jesus really is opening ourselves up to his love, holding tight to that, and letting it inform the rest of our lives. Are we willing to be changed by him? Not in a, let's just try harder, let's just make my behavior look like it's supposed to. Because that's just performance. But are we willing to come to Jesus and say, man, these are the places that really I have a lot of chaos in my life, and I need your help? Or even are we willing to come, like I said earlier, and say, these are the places, Jesus, where I don't even want you here. I don't want you in this space. But I think he really values our honesty. And so even if we say, you know what, Jesus, I can't let you into this space just yet. I'm scared. Or whatever it is. He comes. One of my friends earlier this week, we were talking about the presence of Jesus, and what they had said was, you know what, sometimes I think that Jesus just comes and sits in the dark with us and says, I have light for you. When you want it, I have it. And so this Christmas season, are we making room for him? Are we pausing and just saying, help me experience you a little bit more, Jesus? And so I would invite you, if you want, to just ask Jesus to show you where maybe your hands are full. The things that maybe you're holding on to that you don't even know you're holding on to. The things that you've gripped so tightly that your nails are going into your skin. Or maybe the things that are just kind of hanging off your hands that you're not even aware. But Jesus knows. So Jesus, right now, you see all of us. You see all of the beautiful ways that you've made us, and you see all the places where our pain and our wounding and our sin and all our lack of love has made chaos. And so I just ask, Jesus, that you would reveal to us the places where our hands are full. What are we holding on to that make it really hard to receive your beautiful gift of peace? And so I'm just going to lead you guys, if it fits, there's no pressure, just something called breaking agreement. And what it is just sometimes when we realize, oh yeah, I'm holding on to control, or I'm holding on to being a victim, or something where we realize we've kind of aligned ourselves in a direction that's not Jesus. Breaking agreement is a first powerful step to say, yep, this is the way I was going, and I go here. Another way is exactly like, this is what I'm holding, and this is what I'm doing. And so I'm just going to lead you through the prayer. If you would like to, you can just kind of think it in your head or under your breath. There's no pressure here. So in the name of Jesus and by the power of the cross, I break every agreement I've made, known or unknown, with. And this is where you fill it in. Whatever came up for you. With control. With manipulation. With victim. Jesus, I repent of joining with these things. Would you take them far away from me and show what you have for me instead? And now we just listen, because we believe that Jesus speaks to us. And when we've cleared a little room, we can hear his voice a little better. And what does he have for you in the in place of the things you let go of? And just a reminder, the voice of Jesus is never condemning or unloving. What he says will always be rooted in love, because that's who he is. Thank you for listening to our podcast today. If you'd like more information about us or find out ways to contact us, visit our website at www.beaverlodgealliancechurch.com. We pray today that you would experience the love, presence, and power of Jesus Christ, and then make him known.